इतिहास द इंडियन हिस्ट्री पॉडकास्ट।
वेलकम बैक टू इंडिया एट 70 हियर एट इतिहास। आई एम इन कॉन्वर्सेशन विद डॉक्टर सज्जन कुमार एंड वी आर डिस्कसिंग द इशू ऑफ एवरीडे कम्युनलिज्म। नाउ दैट वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट हाउ कम्युनलिज्म हैज सीप्ड इनटू आवर एवरीडे लाइफ, डू यू हैव एनी इंस्टेंसेस दैट कैन शो दैट इट हैज एक्चुअली बिकम अ पार्ट ऑफ आवर डेली लाइफ विदाउट अस रियलाइजिंग इट?
Like, take for example, I mean, intra-faith couples, okay. Now, this is something you could, that earlier may have been a localized affair. Mm. But now it is one localized instance that wherein you find that two couples, and if one happened to be Muslim, other a Hindu, suddenly you see it is becoming a phenomena called love jihad.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it may have some deal of reality, but the way one localized instance is being perceived as a national a conspiracy or a trend. The petty instances like the drain off into a locality, the drain passing from one house through other house. And there would be a common strife or scuffle or conflict between the two families. But if family happened to be a Muslim, other happened to be a Hindu. Okay, suddenly, how it is getting communalized? The modus operandi is that everywhere you will find that there is no one institutionalized Hindutva or communal organization or institution. They are multiple autonomous Hindutva organization, and their heads are vying with and competing with each other to emerge as a better champion of Hindu interest than the others. So how it will happen? One common instance of everyday life, the moment it comes to light, the head of all these organizations and their cadres will reach there. And in order, because of their internal rivalry, they will disproportionately blow it out of the intensity. And what will happen in that sense, that one petty instance of everyday life will become something that suddenly become a communal imagination. But since the issue is very mundane and petty, okay, you need a series of these everyday events. Okay, it is no more the one when you see a spectacular riots used to happen. So you won't find now Bombay riots kind of a phenomenon, or Meerut riot, or Bhagalpur riot for that matter. Now you see small instance will happen. It will happen suddenly through WhatsApp, rumor will spread. It will be contained within time, but containment doesn't mean that the communal tension has collapsed. So tension is always floating in the air. Okay, and it is always made the keep the pot boiling strategy, that everyday petty issues of everyday life is getting invoked and invested to keep a communal discourse alive. Now, why it is happening? The two causality is one, that we have seen, because of the domestic, regional and international context, a great deal of societal churn taking place. A new generation which has internalized this cultural, communal, common sense as the mainstream. And second, it has given incentive to the political actors, to the institutions who are ready to encash upon it and thrive upon popular sentiments and make their career into a democratic context. So that way I see that post Babri Masjid, what has happened, that Indian society has witnessed a phenomenon wherein everyday life has been communalized.
This intra-faith rivalry that you mentioned about in a larger Hindutva discourse, do we also find such rivalries existing in the Islamic organizations?
Precisely, that's the case. I mean, unless and the other is also not responding or competing, okay, with you, you cannot sustain it. So what is happening, that earlier, most of the Islamic organization used to have a kind of politics wherein they used to compete upon the claim of furthering the material interest of their community, the minorities. Post 1990s, what happened, that people don't recognize that it is also a phase that they have what we call as globalization versus Islamic terrorism. It is also time, from Islamic perspective, it is a different kind of Islamic globalization. But that doesn't want to follow the trend of a market-oriented globalization. It want to follow a uniformity that is very cultural. And that you call it Wahhabism or Salafism or something else. So a uniformity is happening in what way? The Muslim community is also aware about what is happening to their Muslim brethren in other parts of the world. So you will see that suddenly the protest would be in Kashmir or other parts of India when something happens in Palestine.
Right.
Why is it happening? Because Muslim imagination has also become global. Okay, so the imagination of Ummah is a Muslim community.
Okay,
the Islamic term. Ummah, a global Islamic community, is now very profound among the Muslim community. And especially the new generation. And that you will find that many a times the localized practices are becoming abandoned.
Right.
So earlier you will see that you may be a conservative Muslim, you may follow the Islamic practices, religious practices, but at least it used to be diversified depending upon different locations and different regions.
Right.
It was much more integrated into the localized context.
Right.
Now what today is happening, that you will find a more Puritan imagination of Islamic and Muslim identity. The modus operandi is that you will see that from the Gulf, Saudi Arabia especially, the funding is coming to establish the kind of madarsas which will educate and enlighten the Muslim youths into a very Puritan Islamic imagination.
Right.
The localized practices or the rituals that Muslim communities or a shared identity that they have, despite being a Muslim, many customs and rituals that they practice would be localized, would be considered blasphemous and un-Islamic. So you'll find it is happening in Kashmir, it is happening in UP, it is happening in Bihar. When you see that a Gulf migration is also bringing a cultural change, because you are getting there, getting exposed to a new, it's not just the economic opportunity, but also a cultural exposure.
Right.
So you are coming back and you have a different ideas.
Right.
The Barelvis, who are much more localized, they are also, or the Shias versus Sunnis, that is happening. So you see, they are also aware about what is happening into the international realm. And therefore, you see, in this every village, if you see, I know much about the Hindi heartland, especially into the eastern Bihar that is on the border of Bengal, Himachal Bihar, Purnia, Araria, Katihar, Kishanganj, or into the eastern UP. At the local village level, you will see the families are getting divided along the line of two sects, Barelvis and Deobandis. And it is a matter of faith. How is it happening? If your children is sent to a madarsa that has a funding from Saudi Arabia, you are becoming Deobandi. When Hindutva discourse or the discourse of internal, threat and terrorism emerges, we see Muslims as a homogeneous and unified community.
Right.
We fail to realize that internally the community is as much divided. Internal rupture is as much strong and intense as we see within the Hindutva discourse.
Right.
Okay. So they compete with each other. The rivalry is very intense. If you go in during the normal times, not during the time when there has a communal riot or there are elections, and you talk and try to have a kind of discourse and dialogue along these things, you will see an intense, very animated debate, heated debate happening around the kind of the Muslim identity. What happens with Hindutva discourse fails to see that Muslim community is witnessing as much intense a rupture from within as the Hindu community is witnessing around the caste and communal lines.
Right.
Okay. So that way, what is happening that you see many intra-Muslim organizations emerging and their elites competing with each other. So you have Owaisi, who has a communal mindset, who shares Nizam's ideology, who champions the Muslim imagination by making them feel that you are the victim. All the Muslim organizations, all the secular parties are failing to do justice to you, and he is the only savior.
And that's why you need an MIM.
Which is a openly communal party.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you see you have organizations like Jamaat-e-Ulema-Hind, then Barelvi organizations, and they all are competing with each other and trying to send feelers to the political parties that they should be considered as the main custodian of the Muslim community. Then you have the imams of Imam Bukhari's and others of Jama Masjid. Every time, sometimes they will issue fatwa in favor of one party or the other, depending upon their... So when you have Yogi Adityanath, you have Owaisi.
Right.
You have Praveen Togadia. Then you have leaders like Azam Khan. They are competing with each other.
Right.
And what is the modus operandi? The modus operandi is of constituting and treating their community as victim, trying to constitute other community as the dominant other, and thereby to emerge as the savior or the champion of their interest. The mushrooming of all these organizations within both the community is so much so that they need an issue for their own existential requirement.
Right.
And when there is no issue, they make an issue out of no issue.
This everyday communalism that has seeped in into our lives, I know social change is a long-drawn process and you cannot suddenly change things, especially when it comes to society. But is there any possibility of this everyday communalism to cease to operate, or is there any hope for a better future?
See, I mean, the hope is there, but that's not something that can come very easily, because it is into the context of the matrix of anxiety and aspiration. It is a generation today which is aware about their local as well as national and international context. Which knows what is happening in the other part of the world,
right,
other part of the town, other part of the state. Okay. So therefore there is an aspiration, but there is a growing realization that perhaps they could not achieve it.
Right.
So therefore you need a entity or a community or a factor who should be constituted as the blame, or who can be constituted as a villain. So in that sense, why it is happening that once your anxiety about your the realization that your aspiration may not be fulfilled, because of your anxiety that you may lose your identity. Once that is happening, it is precisely because our perception of the self, or our imagination of our own identity, self-identity, is now dominated by our cultural imagination.
Right.
Who we are, our identities are concentric, it is layered. I may be identified by my gender, by my region, my community, by my religion, my class, my caste, my occupation, my ideology.
Right.
So I may have my cultural identity, I may have my occupational identity. So you have a farmer as an identity, but you may be Maratha or a Brahmin as an identity.
Right.
Or you may be a Dalit as an identity, or you may be a leftist or Ambedkarite as an identity. Everyday communalism is precisely dominating and sustaining. And why secularism is on the run? Precisely because into the cultural context, until cultural identities are going to dominate our material interest, our occupational identity, the everyday communalism is going to sustain. Why? Because I may perceive my material failures or my frustration on part of realization that my economic aspirations are not going to be fulfilled, or because of the realization that my cultural identities are under threat.
Correct.
Until my cultural imagination is dominating my perception of the self or my self-identity, I would blame a cultural other as the main factor who is responsible for all my woes and miseries. And I'll look for a savior who should be from the cultural realm. So Owaisi would be the champion of Muslim interest, okay, and Hindutva votaries would be the champion of Hindu interest. But the only hope is that with the growing economic marginalization of a larger section of the society, a larger section of Indian society are no more the stakeholders or material stakeholders of the society. They are losing their stake. So they are emerging as a lumpen floating class who can always be mobilized this way or that way.
Correct.
A popular discourse, be it along the secular line or be it along the communal line, they are ready because they do not have any stake.
They are sitting on the fence.
So unless and until people don't start privileging their material interest and occupational identity, everyday communalism is something that is not going to subside, irrespective of the electoral outcome. You may have that BJP may sometime see electoral reversal, but that is not going to shift the societal communal sense. Don't think that all the sections who are voting for non-BJP parties are secular. You may find significant section of Dalits voting for Mayawati in UP, sharing anti-Muslim mindset. So electoral reversal should not be seen as a shift of communal sense and a secular sense.
Right.
So the real hope is that when we start witnessing or imagining ourselves in terms of not just our cultural identity, but also occupational identity. Who is the dominant other must be determined by someone who is hampering my occupational identity. So for a peasant and for a farmers, the dominant other would be the system or the factors or the ideology that is responsible for their woes and sufferings. For a middle class, the main thing has to be blamed upon a system or the forces that are responsible for their sufferings. But what is happening until we keep on imagining ourselves not as the farmers at or as a upper caste or intermediary caste or the Dalits, okay, or not as a middle class but as someone Hindus or Muslims or Christians, that this communal discourse or societal churning or rupture is going to continue. So only hope I see today that I see that many occupational identities are coming together.
Correct.
And that you see in terms of the farmers' agitation.
Correct.
That you see in terms of the many middle class who are realizing there is a growing realization.
Yeah.
But what is lacking, we don't see the political institutions or the forces who are ready to tap and encash upon it.
Right.
Who are ready to channelize it. There are public policies. So this is a dilemma of our time. Political party which are polarized and poles apart in terms of their ideological assertions around cultural issues. When it comes about economic issues, any party that comes to the power has to follow the same economic policies.
Right.
So it is not like culture and material interest are like a either or it's a trade-off. Both can coexist. But what we need to realize is that the constitution of the other has to be seen from an occupational prism rather than a cultural prism.
Yeah. Here is a hope that that does happen in a near future. So far, what we can do till then is wait and watch and see how things unfold. Thank you very much, Sajan, for appearing on Itihas and sharing your insights and a very studied perspective. So we stop here for today. Till the next time, we come up with more such interesting stories. So stay tuned.